to worship with you, and I count it a privilege every time I get to minister God's word here amongst you, and it's a thrill for me to get this opportunity. If you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 5, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 6. While you turn there, I have to tell you, did you guys know that in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey? Did you know that? Yeah. In the book of Numbers, it's recorded. If you've never read it, you need to read it. In chapter 22, 23, 24. Balaam is riding this donkey, and the angel of the Lord stops the donkey because God does not want Balaam to go where he's headed. Well, Balaam doesn't see the angel of the Lord. So the donkey stops, and he beats his donkey. So the donkey goes around the other way, and the angel of the Lord moves over, blocks him again. Balaam is upset. He beats the donkey. Finally, the third time, the donkey lays down in the path. And Balaam's really ticked off, and he beats the donkey. And the Bible says that God spoke through the donkey and said, "Why are you beating the donkey like this?" And Balaam responds. Now, I'm not sure which is weirder, the donkey talking or Balaam responding to the donkey. If I had been there, I'd have been jumping off that donkey and running if the thing started talking to me. But in that context, this last week, as I was preparing for this message, my wife, she watched me as I struggled trying to get this prepared for today. And she looked over at me and she said, "Honey, you're just the donkey." And I have to tell you, that's the first time that somebody's ever called me a donkey and meant to encourage me. But I'm here to tell you that that's okay. I'll be the donkey today. It's my hope and my prayer today that God has given me something for you. And that if I'm the donkey, that's fine. I just ask that God would show up today and speak to us and minister to us the way he wants to this morning. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 6 and 7 and 8. If you have your Bibles, this is what Paul writes to the Romans. He says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Father, we thank you for your word. Ask God that through it, you would speak to us. I pray for open ears, open eyes, and open hearts to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul describes here in these verses, he gives us a description of humankind, mankind's condition. He then also gives us a prescription. He gives the answer for that condition in just these three verses. When you read chapter 5, you'll read and begin, it talks about how our position with God because of Christ. Afterwards, it talks about justification, that we have been justified. But in these three verses, they're packed with unbelievable information that I want us to try to unpack this morning. I do not have a long sermon for you, because I do believe that God wants to do something with the words he's given to me. And I want to leave room for that. He starts out with a description and then a prescription. In the description, he uses four words, and I want to look at those real briefly. Four words to describe the human condition. In verse 6, he says that we were powerless. Powerless. The word here is asthenēs. Asthenēs in the Greek. It literally means without strength. Sometimes it can be translated sick or weak. But in this context, Paul is describing for us our moral corruption. We were powerless to resist sin. We were powerless to come up with a plan to get us out of the situation we were in. There was a great chasm between us and God. Sin had caused that. There was nothing that man could do to bridge that chasm. So we were powerless, Paul says, to do anything about our relationship with God. Secondly, the word that he uses here, after he says powerless, in verse 6b, he says ungodly. We were ungodly. Asabais in the Greek. Asabais, it means without the worship or the knowledge of God. We were a people that no longer had God's presence in us. That's what that word means. It means that we did not worship God. There was not worship from us to God. We were ungodly. In other words, what he's saying is that we were enslaved by our sin and by Satan. We were ungodly. The third word that Paul uses here in verse 8 is sinners. Hamartalos. Hamartalos. It means to miss the mark. It literally is talking about an archer. Those of us that like to shoot bows, we either shoot targets or we shoot 3D targets. Okay? 3D targets are actually a clay image, let's say, of a deer or an elk, whatever you were going to hunt. And I've done this before, and it's quite embarrassing that you're standing there and maybe in a competition, and the animal's 30 yards away from you, and it's broadside. It's the perfect shot, right, Mike? Perfect shot. And you pull that bow back, and you've got the second pin right on where you want it to hit, and you let it go. And you totally miss the entire target. Either goes over it, goes left, and you're like, oh, my God. And you pull out another one, you get up and pin it. You miss everything. Totally miss the target. Well, that's what this word means here. You don't just barely miss. You don't miss the bullseye by that. No, you missed the complete target. And so that's what missing the mark means. We missed the mark. We are sinners, Paul said. The mark for us is to live a sinless life. We missed it. We didn't just barely missed it. We missed it bad. Sinners, Paul says. Powerless. Ungodly. Sinners. And the final word he uses here is enemies. Extroi. Extroi in the Greek. It talks about hatred. People hated God, hated His ways, hated His holiness, acting hostile against God completely. And I want you to notice the constant graduation of these four words: powerless, ungodly, sinners, and then enemies. Paul gives us a full description of mankind. He gives us a 3D, if you will, a high-definition view of mankind's condition. We're lost. We have no way of getting out. We hate God. We do everything opposed to God. That is Paul's description of our condition. And right in the middle of that, right in the middle, sandwiched between those four words, is the prescription. And I like that. I like the way Paul does this. In verse 7, he says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die." Very rarely does somebody die even for a good person. I mean, we know that happens, right? We've read the story. I can't remember the officer or the Marine that the grenade was thrown in. There were 8 guys. He jumped on it. He died to save his guys. It happens. It happens. But in this context, it's talking about execution. So here's a guy, right? We're standing there in Rome, okay? He's done some things wrong. They're about to execute this guy. And this guy over here goes, "Well, I know Charlie. He's a good guy. And you're the one that's going to go, okay, well, remove him and I'll go die for him," right? That's just not going to happen. Very rarely does somebody die for somebody that's good. And then right here in verse 8, Paul says something. It's that divine surprise. It's almost unbelievable. How can this be? Paul says, it's the culmination. It's everything that I've said so far wrapped up in verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not very often does one die for somebody good, but who would die for somebody angry, mad, vile, spitting at them, cursing them, doing everything opposed to them? Who would possibly die for somebody like that? And the Bible says here in Romans 5 that Jesus did just that. And I have to ask myself, why? Why would you do that? I've looked in the mirror. Why would you do that for me, Jesus? My preaching professor at Fuller Seminary was Ian Pitt Watson. He was a wonderful man. He was from Scotland. He pastored a large church in Scotland before he came to Fuller and taught those of us going through how to communicate the word. He was a tremendous man. I miss him very much. He's long been gone, but he taught me some great stuff. And Ian used to tell this story, and it would go something like this. There is a natural, logical kind of loving that loves lovely things and lovely people. That's logical. But there's another kind of loving that doesn't look for value in what it loves, but creates value in what it loves. Like Rosemary's ragdoll. Rosemary was Ian's youngest daughter. And he said that when she was 3, somebody gave her a ragdoll. And very quickly, the two became inseparable. They were companions. She had other toys that were intrinsically more valuable, but she loved the ragdoll, and she didn't love any other toy any greater than the ragdoll. And soon the ragdoll became more and more rag and less doll. It became dirty. You wouldn't try to clean it because when you clean it, it just get dirtier. If you tried to wash it, it just fall apart. So the most logical and sensible thing to do would be to throw it in the trash. But you couldn't do that because Rosemary loved that ragdoll. It was her most prized possession. The ragdoll was not loved because it was valuable, but it was valuable because it was loved. And this is exactly what Romans 5 is saying, that we are like Rosemary's rag doll spiritually. We're filthy, we're dirty, we're tattered, we're torn. And at our worst moment, when we are right there, we are powerless, ungodly sinners, enemies. At that very time, the Bible says, Jesus died for us. Unbelievable. You've got to be kidding me. John Ortberg says this. This is called love beyond reason. And it is. It's unbelievable. How could you do that? Isaiah 6 says it like this. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And God says that his love for us is so great that when we were in that condition, he said, I love you. I'll send my son to die for you. I love you that much. Romans 5, for me, has been a journey that I've been on for a little while. I don't really know how to describe it. For 2 years, I was youth pastor, assistant pastor. For 7 years, I served as head pastor of a church. For the last 10 years, I served as the founder of a ministry called Men for Purity. But for these last few years, I really haven't been doing a lot. I minister from time to time, but I haven't been just engulfed in ministry, so to speak. And you see, I'm a performer. I'm a doer. When I was 7 years old, I started pitching baseball. I pitched all the way up and through college. I performed. I play golf. I so desperately just wanted to pick up a sport that I could just play and have fun, but it didn't take long until I began to perform at playing golf. I've led Bible studies. I've taught small groups. I performed. All the years of preaching and pastoring, I performed for people and for God. And as long as I was doing that, I was okay, because when God would pour out His love on me, I could say, yeah, I deserve that. I'm doing good things. But the moment God tries to pour out His love on me, and I haven't been doing those things, it's not that easy. Not when you're a performer. I would say to Linda, I know God loves me, but I don't think He likes me right now. And really, down deep inside, I felt like He didn't love me as well. And so when I'd come to church, when I'd go somewhere, hear a song, when something happened, and I would feel the presence of God try to break into me, I immediately began to kick and push, because I knew I didn't deserve it. And so I couldn't receive from God. I disqualified myself from God's love because, you see, I didn't earn it. I haven't done enough good to receive God's love. When our daughter Kaylee was young, she was very ill one night, running a high temperature. And right in the middle of the night, I think 2-3 o'clock in the morning, she screamed out. Linda jumped up and ran to her. By the time I got there, Kaylee was screaming, blood-curdling screams. And she was pushing away at Linda, trying to push her away, and she was kicking her. And she was screaming, no, no, no. And I remember saying to her, I said, Kaylee, can't you see that Mom's just trying to love you? Won't you let Mommy just love you? And when I said that, God said, that's the way I feel sometimes. I just want to love my children, and they won't let me. I just want to give them my love, and they just kick, and they scream, and they push. And all I really want to do is love them. So these past several weeks has been difficult for me. I'm trying to receive God's love, period. To be able to just soak in the love of the Father. I have a hard time receiving things I didn't work for. And I think God's got me in a good place right now. I think God's trying to teach me something, that it doesn't matter what I do, His love for me never changes, ever. As a parent, there have been times that I've taken my children when they've been doing things wrong, and I've sat them down and I said, we need to talk. There was times of discipline, times of the belt, times of time out. But there are other times when all I wanted to do was hold my little boy and tell him how much I loved him. In spite of what you do, in spite of the wrong that you've done, in spite of the fact that you may feel powerless, ungodly, I want you to know that I love you. And I think that's what God wants to do for us today. This is that time, I think, when God is not trying to discipline you, but he's saying, will you please let me love you? Will you please let me wrap my arms around you? Will you please sit on my lap for a while and just experience his unfailing, unchanging, everlasting love? This last week, as I was preparing, I will move one way and another because, like I said, I'm in this right now. I'm not through it. And so this last week, I was sitting there, and it was one of those moments when I said, God, I'm just so unlovable right now. And God just said something to my spirit, and I wrote it down. And I wrote this. I said, I don't understand, God. I'm so unlovable. And I felt God say, I don't see it that way, Lance. Not from my viewpoint. I paid a big price for you. And you are worth it to me. And then I wrote, P.S. God said, I know you're a rag doll, but you're my rag doll, and that makes you invaluable to me. And if we're honest, all of us feel like rag dolls sometimes. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we know we're unlovable. By what we do, what we say. Maybe you're like me and you just don't feel like you earned it or deserved it. But God says, I love you with an everlasting love. And God would never say to you or me, I paid too much for you. Ever. He would say, I paid a lot and I do it again today. That's how much I love you. I would give up my son right now again for you. And the enemy will do everything he can to keep us from receiving that love. You see, he's been winning in me because I disqualified myself. He won because I'm not allowing myself to receive God's love. And in you today, some of you sitting here, and he's winning because you don't let him in. You don't let him love you. Last week, second service, a word was given out. Dave gave the word out. And I want to tell you what it said. He said, speaking from God to us, he said this, I want to fill your cup up with my love. But I can't because your hand is over the cup. You need to remove your hand. And so that's where I'm at in my walk. Romans 5 is meaning a lot to me right now because I feel like a rag doll so many times. And I'm trying to receive and not earn it and not deserve it and receive from God. Can you guys come up? There's been a song that for the last several weeks that I've been singing. And the worship team, Shannon, and they agreed, Seth, they agreed to learn this song this week. And I thought that was awesome that they would do that. And it's a song that when I'm not feeling worthy, I just start singing a song. And I think some of you are sitting here and you're not allowing God to love you the way He wants to. Some of you have been told by a father. Some of you have been abused by a father. And you can't receive the Father's love because of that. I can't look at God as my father because my father abused me. And God says, I'm not him. I'm a father like no other father. Let me love you. Some of you guys are sitting here and you've been told by a father. You've been told by parents. You've been told by people, you're nothing, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. And God says, please let me tell you the truth. You are valuable. I paid for you. You're mine. You're valuable. And I really think that God just wants to give us His love. I'm going to ask these guys to sing this song just one time through, and then I'm going to come up and I want to talk to you. But I want you to take this time right where you're at. You can listen to it. If you know it, you can sing it. But I want you to sit there and ask yourself, am I allowing God to love me the way He wants to? Is there something inside you that's blocking you from receiving that? You're not worthy because of sin. We're all sinners. All of us. Saved by grace. You may be here and you've never accepted Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity in a minute. But as they sing this song, would you just meditate on it? Talk to the Lord right where you're sitting. And when they sing that through one time, I'll come back up. Is that okay? Okay. I want to write it on your heart today. I want you to know how much I love you. I gave it all. I paid it all for you. I'm going to ask all of you to stand right where you're at. I want everybody just for a second, just bow your head, close your eyes. I want to ask somebody, and I know there's a couple here at least. You say this morning that, Lance, I've never, ever allowed God to love me. I've never, ever said, Lord, come in, forgive me my sins. I receive your gift of your Son for my salvation. Forgive me and be Lord of my life. You've never done that. And this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. And you say, but this morning, I want to receive the love of the Father by receiving His Son. Would you just quickly raise your hand and put it back down so I can see it? If you want to do that this morning for the first time. Okay. Can I have all eyes looking at me now? I know. I have a good viewpoint from up here when I'm preaching. I can see when God's speaking to your heart. And some of you are here and you just need to know the love of the Father. You need to experience that love this morning. The enemy will do everything he can to keep you out of it. You may be here just like me and you've pushed because you don't feel like you deserved it. You may be here because there's sin in your life and you've pushed because you know that you're not living the way you should. God's not here today to discipline you. God's here today to show you how much He loves you, even in your ragged state. Thank you, God. Thank you that you love me when I'm tattered and torn and dirty. Thank you that you love me that much. And if you're here this morning and you want that, I'm going to invite you, I'm going to ask you to come up here and just kneel down at the front. As they lead us in worship, I want you to make that step forward to say, yes, God, I receive the love you have for me. Yes, God, I receive that undying, everlasting, unconditional love. No matter what the enemy's been telling you, God's saying this morning, will you take your hand off of the cup let me fill you up with my love. Will you do that this morning? As they lead us in worship, I'm going to ask you. There's going to be people, prayer team, even if you're not on the prayer team, you see somebody, you want to pray with them, please do that. I've prayed and asked God, Lord, this morning I ask above everything else that the people who are there will experience your love like they haven't felt in a long time. I believe my God's here to do that. No embarrassing, nothing. But I'm asking you, will you receive this morning? Will you get rid of all the stuff that keeps you from receiving his love? Would you do that by stepping forward and showing, yes, I receive his love this morning.